Excuse me. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And as we think about, well, first thing that comes to Christmas, I believe, a lot around children, and also the other thing that comes to mind is gifts. You know, Christmas has a lot to do with gifts these days. And so John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." On him. He gave the. And so at this Christmas morning, together as children under the tree, it's under the bend to them. For us as God's children, we should be as excited to be able to know that we've received his best gift. The gift of eternal life, the gift that can only come from him and him alone, no other way. So I thought about gift giving, and I looked up the definition. It says, the act of bestowing a favor or an item on another person without expecting anything in return. Oh, there it is, without expecting anything in return. So as I thought about gifts and Christmas time, and I have a couple of gifts up here, and of course, you know, this one is wrapped really kind of, I don't know, I probably wrapped this one. Okay, I was going to say Lois did, but I knew none of you would believe me anyway. And so we have that one, and then we have this one. See how pretty, how beautiful. Doesn't she do a good job? She made the bow and everything. So anyway, those two gifts are under the tree. And maybe you're having what they call the white elephant exchange. You know, where you go and you pick one gift, you have the number, and you end up with number one, so you can pick any gift under there. Well, would we normally naturally go to this one? Or would we go to this one? You know, I think we would normally pick this one, because there's just something about that. And as we think about Christ and the beautiful gift he's given us in his son Jesus, we need to receive that with such respect and honor. And so, you know, when you get a gift that's wrapped like this, you know, you normally just like, oh, you want to take your, as an adult. Now, children is different, but as an adult, you normally set it there. You don't want to really rip into it yet. But something like this, you know, somebody hands it to you, it's like, oh, man, all right, here we go. Oh, we just kind of, you know, tear it open, you know, all right, wonder what's in it, you know. We just kind of rip the paper off. There's no, oh, we got to save the bow or nothing. We just kind of rip it open, you know. All that work I did, and it's just nothing. But then when we get something like this, you know, oh, okay, well, we got to be gentle as we can. We want to make sure we save that bow, right? Oh, man. Now, we'll never use it again, but we're probably going to save it, okay? It's just the idea. Man, you got to save it. So then you get it, and now, you know, you start to unwrap it just ever so gently. You know, just slowly, just unwrapping it, peeking in a little bit, you know, getting excited about it. And you, oh, the other end's a little tougher. Should put more tape on that end. So you come in and you get it all opened up, you know, and you pull it. And you don't want to rip the paper. Oh, look at that. Success. So here we are. Two gifts. Two gifts wrapped differently. And we looked at the outside of the one. We thought, oh, how special that one must be. But see, the thing about it is we as sinners, we as people knowing that we're not wrapped very pretty most of the time. We're not wrapped very pretty, but praise the Lord, the Lord doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. He's able to see beyond the outside. And so when you have the box that was wrapped real pretty, we can open it up and see what special thing is in there to be wrapped so beautiful. Well, you get it open, And what is it? It's like, oh my goodness, it's a rock. It's a rock. All that care, all that gentleness, and it's just a rock. Man. You know, that wasn't very special. So then you get the other one that wasn't wrapped very well, and you think, whoa, man, that was a rock. This is probably just an old piece of coal. You know, it's wrapped so ugly and everything, but you get in there, and oh, look at that. Ah, nice, beautiful bowl. Glitters in the light. See, and that's what happens with us. See, the Lord doesn't look at the outside. He sees on the inside of us this beautiful bowl. He sees a finished work. He sees us as his children. And think about your children. No matter what they do, no matter what happens, there's still that special love that you have for your children. No matter what, you still see your children like this. You don't see them as an old, ugly rock. You know, they're not, you know, but we, in the inside of us, before we come to the Lord, our hearts are hard like this. But he transforms us from this into something like this. He gives us that gift, and he gives it to us without expecting anything in return. But because of our love for him and the way he loves us, it should encourage us to love him back unconditionally as much as we can. And so I want to look at gift giving this morning as we come to Christmas morning. And what is the purpose of a gift? As we think about that, one of the purposes of a gift is to bring honor. Daniel 2, verse 8 says, "Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon." I got the wrong scripture up there, don't I? How'd I do that? 248, and I got 28. Sorry, folks. That's my Christmas gift to myself this morning, starting the first scripture wrong. Anyway, this is what it says. Just close your eyes. We'll shut that off so you don't get confused by it. There we go. "Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts." So sometimes it's to honor someone by giving us gifts. And you know, when you think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives to us as his children, he's giving us those gifts to honor not only us, but they're to be used to honor him. They're to be used to honor him in special, special ways. The next purpose of a gift is to celebrate. Hopefully I got the right one on this one. Revelation 11:10, looks like it. To celebrate. It says, "And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth." So there was this time in the tribulation period where those two had been tormenting everybody. To the unsaved world, anyway. They were tormented by those two prophets. And those around, they gave gifts trying to celebrate the death of those two prophets that were sent by God. They were there for the right reason, but they didn't receive that. There are those around us that, as we go and proclaim that gift to them, that one and only gift of Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, they just mock and reject and celebrate, in a sense, that they don't have to follow after him. And so there's a place in Scripture, though, where we see that the giving of gift comes through celebrating. And then it may also simply be to bestow a favor or to give help to someone. Esther 9:22 says, "As the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor." You know, we see that with Christmas nowadays. Christmas time seems to be a time where so many people will have that heart to give a little bit more than the rest of the times of the year. It's during Christmas time you see that the charities are able to provide for those that are in need a lot more. There's more giving. There's more of an attitude of that feasting and joy taking place. I know for me it's been too much feasting. You know, but as we do that, as we gather together as family, as we gather together as believers and have that fellowship time of food and merriment and the gift giving that comes there, it brings a joy. You know, last night we had our grandkids over and I was able to hand out the gifts to them from under the tree and just to see them waiting around the room in anticipation for, is that next box got my name on it? You know, just to see their faces light up as he went and handed them the gift. And to be able to realize that we're all God's children and he's wanting to give us those gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Galatians says, of which there is no law against. Boy, to have that rejoicing, to have that joy of the Holy Spirit today, and to realize that he's the one that sends us the best gifts of all, the best gift of Jesus Christ, his Son. And we know also that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. Hallelujah. See, but a key there is asking him. We have to ask him. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. So what do we ask the Lord for? A lot of times it's just those needs that are right on the are in front of us. You know, oh Lord, we need this money, we need that, we need this, and we have all these needs that we think we need. But yet, what's God's will for your prayer life as you ask of him? Just to ask, maybe instead of all the stuff, to be able to ask the Lord, Lord, I want the good and perfect gift that you promised. If us being evil know how to give good Christmas gifts to our kids and our grandkids, how much more our Father in heaven wants to give to us? I believe he has so many, much more of a blessing that he wants to pour out in our lives than we have any idea about. We don't really understand or see clearly how much he wants and desires to bless us as his children. Every good and perfect gift is from him. And if us being evil can give good gifts, how much more our Father in heaven will give that great and perfect gift to all those who ask him. That means we need to spend time in prayer. And I think that's the best gift that we can give back to the Father is prayer. Fellowship with him, communion with him through prayer. And the other scripture, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Praise the Lord. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. See, and so sometimes, you know, we'll be going along and something will happen in our lives and we're like, oh, why is this happening to me? Well, if it's not good, it may not be from the Father. It's probably not from the Father. It's probably maybe something you're allowing to happen in your life. And maybe it's a time to, as David prayed, Lord, search my heart. See if there's any right way within me. Search my heart, Lord, to deal with that. And so all those gifts, the gift that he gives to us, it includes eternal life. Was a familiar one, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift. It's a free gift. What if somebody handed you the box and the gift and said, okay, here, this is for you, but I need some money for it. You know, I need you to, you know, pay me $5. That went $5 over my budget. so I couldn't spend that much on you, but I wanted to give it to you, so here, give me a little bit back. No, that's not the way the Lord works, see? He says the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But notice it says, in Christ Jesus. That's the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man get to the Father except through Him. It's in Christ that we know that we have that free gift, that we receive that free gift of eternal life. It's in Christ Jesus. That two-letter word is huge in Scripture. And those two little letters, I-N, sums up salvation totally and completely. What's it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, before we know Jesus, we're in the world. And we're just doing our own thing. When we repent and believe upon His name, we come out of the world and He brings us into His body. We're under His headship. He's the head. He's the leader. And we're in Him. We're in Christ Jesus. To be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean water baptism. That means being totally submersed under His headship, under His leadership, to be able to be led to eternal life for all eternity. And that, of course, includes salvation. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. So what's that mean? So when you opened up that present, I know it took a little work to get the tape off, but other than that, you really didn't have to work for that gift. If you had to work for anything, what happens is no longer a gift, it's a paycheck. You don't earn. We can't earn our salvation. We can't work for our salvation. The Bible says there, that it's the gift of God. Gifts should be free, expecting nothing in return. That's the bottom line of a gift. God gives us the gift of eternal life and salvation just as we believe on His name, trust in, rely on, and cling to His name. So the gift that brings eternal life and salvation, it also brings us the necessities of this life. He tells us in Matthew 6:11, through the prayer, the framework of prayer that He gives to us in what's so commonly called the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Every day to be able to know that He is the provider. He's the one that will provide all of your needs, your daily bread. What you need for that day. In the book of Exodus, when the people of Israel were out in the wilderness and the manna came out every morning and fell on the ground and they looked and they said, what is it? That means manna. They could only collect enough for that day. They couldn't get more than enough. If they collected extra the next morning, it was rotten and ugly and stinky. It was of no value. So give us this day our daily bread. What are your needs today? To know that He is faithful to provide that need as a gift. He gives them freely as it's according to His will. And then also He gives us also the ability to work. Yeah, that's a joy, right? But Deuteronomy 8:18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. See, He gives us our jobs. He gives us our talents and our gifts that we are able to apply to be able to earn a living, to be able to be strong and to get strengthened and stuff. All of those things. And so often we just take our jobs for granted. We forget to say, Lord, thank you for this job. Thank you for this job. I don't like this job, you might say. But you know what? That job is exactly the one God has for you today. He's got you there for a reason and a purpose. He can use you there to be light, to be salt. And then, of course, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Wow, what a blessing that is. See, the Holy Spirit comes along and empowers us and enables us and teaches us and equips us to be able to serve Him and His body. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for our glorification. He gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit to edify His body and glorify Him as often as we can. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit, boy, you know, if you don't understand that in your life today, come and talk to me later. There's so much more God would have for you if you don't have that gift working and abiding and functioning in your life. And then He gives us special abilities. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, we don't all have the same gift, praise God. Because if we had all that had the same gift, we wouldn't need one another. And we don't get all the gifts. One person doesn't get all the gifts because it's the same thing. If one person had all the gifts, he wouldn't need anybody else. He gives us a diversity of gifts so that we can function together. One person with this gift and one person with that. And we work together as the body of Christ, being in Him, under His leadership, under His headship in those ways. And then above all of these things, above all that we've talked about, there's what the Bible calls the indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. What's His indescribable gift? You know, you can describe this. This is a pretty little bowl. This is a rock. You can describe those gifts pretty easily and quickly. But God says here, Paul's actually telling the Corinthians, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Well, what is His indescribable gift? Verse everybody's familiar with, if you watch any football at all, John 3:16. There's always a sign out in the crowd, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we come today on a Christmas morning and we realize that we've been given an indescribable gift. We can't even describe it really too totally to someone else. Especially when you think of, for God so loved the world. See, it's about God's love for us. That's why He became flesh and dwelt among us. Because of His love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So our response to all of this, our response to each of these things that I just talked about, these gifts, the Christian's gifts to God, should not be bribes to obtain His favor. Well, God, I'm going to give this much today so that You'll do this. Or I'm going to do this so You'll do that. No, see, that's not a gift then. And so as we serve Him, our response to the gift that He gives to us, all these blessings He's given to us, is that we should just be grateful. We should be grateful to what He's done in our life. Be grateful that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together with Him. Where? In Christ Jesus. There's that big, huge word again. In Christ Jesus. Not in anything else. Not in any of the isms that are out there, but in Christ Jesus. So what are we to give back? You know, God doesn't expect anything in return except our love to Him. But what are we? How about one another? Look at Luke 6. Luke 6:30 says, "Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." Have that attitude of giving to everyone who asks of you. If you have and the ability to give, give. This body's really good about that. You folks are great about when someone is in need and you find out that need, you're great with providing for that need. And then in the same chapter in verse 38, it says, give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. With the same measure you use it. See, the key there, I believe, is when God gives us those gifts and he bestows upon us those blessings, it's not just, oh man, thank you. Oh, give me more, give me more. It's to use it, to be that vessel that sends it out from there. That's why the Dead Sea is dead. It just goes in and it doesn't flow out. Many religious people are dead because they just receive, but they don't give out. They don't share back. With the same measure that you use it, man, if you're getting blessed, be a blessing to others as well. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. To be able to give with joy. It seems at Christmas time when you give out that gift, there's such joy in giving that gift, isn't there? Especially for your children or your grandchildren. As you hand it to them, you just have that joy watching them open it and seeing their eyes and face light up when they see what's in it. And that's the way we should be as we give unto the Lord and unto his body, to one another. Give with that cheerful heart in that same attitude. See, giving itself can be thought of as a gift from God as well. Look at Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. So having the gifts differing according to the grace, it's by God's grace we get these gifts. It's not anything enough for ourselves again. And then verse 8 of Romans 12 says, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So when we have these gifts of God, to be able to, like I say, we have to use them. We have to use them and use them with joy, just in thanksgiving, not expecting anything back from the person that you pour them out on, because God doesn't expect anything when he gives it to us. He gives it to us freely. We need to give freely. That's mercy in that way. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir up that gift. You know, you think of stirring a pot. You know, sometimes we get kind of stagnant. You know, the spirit inside of us just kind of, We need to allow the Holy Spirit to be stirred up within us. Stir up those gifts. And when they stir up, they start to come and flow out of you into others. And that's what God's desire is. That's his desire for us. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. It's all about being in Christ Jesus. That's the answer. That's the key. Being in Christ Jesus. And allowing those gifts to be stirred up. And allowing not just to hold on to it, but to pass that package on. And to remember, Jesus, and you know, he came to die for all of us. He was that perfect gift. He was that indescribable gift. And so it's up to us to receive that gift. It's up to us to accept that gift, to say, yes, Lord, I now understand that I need a Savior. I understand that I am a sinner. I understand that religion doesn't save me. I need a relationship with you. And then we just receive that gift. Just even as someone who would pick up a package out from under the tree and say, here, this has your name on it. Jesus has your name written in the palm of his hands through those scars, through the scars on his feet and the piercing side. That's where he has your name written there. That's the price he paid to be able to give you that gift of eternal life. So before we take communion today, I want to pray. Father, I pray right now as we've heard these scriptures and seen a lot of scripture this morning, or realizing that you came to give us that indescribable gift. And there may be someone here this morning that maybe has never received Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're not in Christ Jesus. Maybe you've never said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Maybe you've never acknowledged to Jesus that He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, that He is the Savior. He is God Almighty. All things, it says, were created by Him and for Him. The whole world was created through Him. So I want to give you a chance this morning, just if you've never received that gift of eternal life this morning. Today's the day. The Bible says today, if you hear the Lord, the Word, don't harden your heart. Don't turn away. Allow Him to be real in your life. So I want to pray for you if that's you today. If you want to be in Christ Jesus today, just raise up your hand so I can pray for you before we close today. God bless you over there. Anyone else? We've all been at this place at one time or another. Anyone else? Want to be in Christ Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Father, for this one, I just pray for him today that your anointing would be upon him, that you would supernaturally just give him the gift of the Holy Spirit like never before, that as he just as by faith raised up his hand this morning, that, Lord, you would just allow him to acknowledge you more and more each and every day. Just descend upon him now. Just allow him as he just asks of him in his heart right now, Lord Jesus, come into me, renewing me, reviving me, restoring me, and reconciling me. Come in today and come in to stay. And so we just thank you for that and we praise you for it now. Pray your will be done in his life each and every moment of the day. So we thank you for that gift that you've just given to him. And we just pray now that you would use him for your glory and in your kingdom. And so we just surrender all of our lives to you now. And we thank you and pray your will be done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.